Let's read together Job chapters 4 and 5. In these two chapters, we have the first speech of Eliphaz to Job in reference to Job's sufferings. Let's begin by reading the first 6 verses of chapter 4. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. Is not your reverence your confidence, and your integrity of your ways your hope?" Let's begin our study of Job chapters 4 and 5 with some background notes. In Job chapter 3, we had Job's opening lament concerning his sufferings. Now in chapters 4 through 31, Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, will dialogue with Job and try to explain Job's sufferings. There will be 3 rounds of dialogues, and then Elihu, a fourth counselor, comes on the scene in chapter 32. Some of what the counselors say is true, and some of what the counselors say is not true. Their basic argument is as follows. Point number 1. All suffering is the result of sin. Point number 2, Job is suffering. Conclusion, therefore Job has sinned. This argument is wrong, then and today. All suffering in a person's life is not the result of personal sin. Some is, but certainly not all. Now we know that Job's three friends were wrong for the following reasons. Number 1, we've already seen in chapters 1 and 2 that the main reason Job was suffering was because it was a test of Job's faith, and it was God's proof to Satan that Job was faithful. Number 2, the rest of the Bible makes very clear that all personal suffering is not because of personal sin. In John chapter 9, for example, the Lord Jesus said that the blind man was born blind for the purpose of the glory of God. And number 3, we know that Job's three friends were wrong in their reasoning because at the end of the book, the Lord himself says that they were wrong and they had to bring sacrifices because they spoke and reasoned wrongly about Job. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for these chapters in Job, Job's 4 and 5. The first speech of Eliphaz contains truth and error. The first speech of Eliphaz contains truth and error. Now, it's important to note that we did not say in our doctrinal point that the Bible contains truth and error, but that the speech of Eliphaz contains truth and error. The Bible, as God's word, is inerrant, that is, free from error. But many times the Bible gives us the true inspired record of things people said that were not true. That is, the Bible doesn't lie, but it contains the true record of some lies that people told. The pagans lie in the Bible. The Pharisees lie in the Bible. Abraham lied about Sarah, his wife, in the Bible. And Job's three friends lie in the Bible. But not everything Job's three counselors say was a lie. The line between truth and error in reference to Job's three friends is determined by the rest of Scripture. Now let's look more closely at Eliphaz's first speech and sort between the truth and error. In verses 1 through 6, the verses that we just read, Eliphaz commends Job for helping others in the past. But now he seems to rebuke Job for not trusting God himself in the present. By the way, this is certainly not the best approach for us to take in order to counsel someone who is really hurting. In verses 7 through 11, we see the view of Eliphaz as to why people suffer. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 4. Beginning now with verse 7. "Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or were the upright ever cut off? Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed. The roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered." According to Eliphaz, those who practice iniquity suffer, but the innocent and upright do not suffer. But Eliphaz is wrong here. Many times the righteous do suffer, and the wicked do not suffer in this life. Many times that's true. The experience that Eliphaz claimed in verse 8 was limited and not the best teacher. In verses 10 and 11, Eliphaz is inferring that Job, like a strong lion, was being broken by God for his sin. Wrong again. To add to his argument from experience, Eliphaz relates a vision that he had of a spirit who spoke with him. Job chapter 4, beginning now with verse 12. Now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it, in disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, "Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his Maker? If he puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth? They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. They perish forever with no one regarding. Does not their own excellence go away? They die even without wisdom." Now, we don't believe that this spirit vision that Eliphaz had was from God, because the content that Eliphaz received and relates in verses 17 through 21 is a mixture of truth and error. It is true that mortal man is not righteous before God, verse 17. And it is true that if God judges angels, verse 18, he will certainly judge mortal man, verse 19. But Eliphaz was wrong, not only implying that Job was suffering for wrongdoing, but that God did not take notice and was unconcerned with the death of mortals, verse 20, and that all people die without having obtained wisdom, verse 21. This is not true. Now, in the first seven verses of chapter 5, Eliphaz challenges Job to disprove his premise that suffering follows sin. Eliphaz is convinced that men and angels cannot defeat his argument. Let's read the first seven verses of Job chapter 5. "Call out now, is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place. His sons are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate, and there is no deliverer, because the hungry eat up his harvest, taking it even from the thorns, and a snare snatches their substance, for affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." Eliphaz was right in verse 7 about the fact that everyone born will have trouble as sure as sparks fly upward. But Eliphaz was wrong in his conclusion that this trouble is always because of personal sin. The Lord Jesus disagreed in Luke chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. "Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Luke chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. So certainly the Lord Jesus disagrees with what the premise of Eliphaz is, that all suffering is because of personal sin. Eliphaz was wrong to use his limited knowledge and experience of cases he had seen to make blanket statements about trouble always being the result of personal sin and concluding that Job was suffering for his sin. In verses 8 through 16, Eliphaz urges Job to appeal his case to God. Let's read these verses. "But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends waters on the fields. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope at noontime as in the night. But he saves the needy from the sword, from the mouth of the mighty and from their hand. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth. All that Eliphaz says in these verses about God's majesty and power and his ability to thwart the schemes of the wicked is true and backed up by the rest of Scripture. But Eliphaz is wrong again in his assumption that Job is suffering for his sin and therefore should appeal to God. In verses 17 through 26 of chapter 5, Eliphaz concludes that people who submit to God will be delivered from every kind of problem and enjoy peace and blessing and longevity. Let's read these verses. Job chapter 5, beginning now with verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in six troubles. Yes, in seven, no evil shall touch you. In famine he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it, and know for yourself. Again, Eliphaz is right about submitting to God's discipline for blessing, and also about God's ability to bring relief and healing and joy and peace. But Eliphaz is wrong in counseling that God will take away all trouble when you submit to him, and that God will bring healing and relief in every case. That is not true. Eliphaz was wrong because his basic premise was wrong. All trouble and suffering in a person's life is not because of personal sin. The Bible does not teach that wrong idea, and the case of Job is certainly Exhibit A to refute it. The first speech of Eliphaz contains truth and error. And that brings us to our practical application for these two chapters in Job. Eliminate the Eliphaz mentality from your counseling. Eliminate the Eliphaz mentality from your counseling. All of us are called on to counsel others from time to time at one level or another. Let's be careful that we don't make the same mistakes as Eliphaz. Eliphaz was so convinced from his experience and observations that he had all the answers. Look at his smug conclusion and advice to Job in verse 27 of chapter 5. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it and know for yourself. Job 5:27. You know, it's easy for us to fall into this same mentality when we counsel. Let's be careful. We don't have unlimited experience, and we don't have all the answers, and certainly all trouble and suffering in a person's life is not because of personal sin. Eliminate the Eliphaz mentality from your counseling.